Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we are rejoicing and glad in it, for the Lord is good. The Lord is wonderful. The Lord is kind. God is awesome. We are thankful to God for another day's journey. Hey, y'all, we made it. Day 20. Day 20 is here. We are at the halfway mark of our journey together, just 20 more days until we celebrate the resurrection of our Christ. And I hope and pray this Lenten season, at this halfway mark, you have been tremendously blessed during our time of prayer and fasting together. Amen. All right, well, I'm going to get right to the word on this 20th day. We're going to go to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 2, and I want to read in your hearing verses 1 through 4. In your own personal private time with God, I would encourage you to read chapters 1 and 2, which I know will be a blessing to your life. But for our time together now, I want to read Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, the NIV version of the Bible. Here's what the word of the Lord says. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit, and of one mind, doing nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of the others. Word of God for the people of God, thanks be to God. For just a few minutes, I want to talk about radical humility, radical humility. Now, beloved, in order to really get the full-on scope of what the Apostle Paul is talking about to the Church of Philippi, you got to go to chapter 1 of Philippians. And in chapter 1 of Philippians, Paul is admonishing the people to remain unified. They were longing for the appearance of the Apostle Paul, but he is currently under house arrest. People of Philippi are enduring great suffering and persecution on behalf of Christ and the church. Paul is sharing with them, no matter what's going on, no matter what's happening around you, y'all remain together. Remain unified. Verse 27 of Philippians chapter 1 says this, that whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Paul goes on to say in verse 29 of Philippians chapter 1 that Christ has granted for you not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him. Means that what you're going through is not in vain, and what you're enduring, the persecution that you're under, is not being overlooked. It is a part of the unifying force that brings all the people together, that in the midst of persecution, your focus is more on God. And therefore, beloved, what comes out of this and what relates to what Paul is saying in Philippians chapter 2 is what N.T. Wright calls radical humility. What is radical humility? Radical humility is the unifying force with Christ that causes us to think more about others than about ourselves. Jesus shows us the greatest example of what it means to show humility in the face of suffering. And so this process requires us to give up control in the face of challenges and to let Christ and his love take control of our lives. We ought to demonstrate and show forth radical humility. So the relevant question this morning is, how does radical humility work? How does radical humility work? Well, there are three things I want to show you out of the text that I believe will help us in understanding the operation of radical humility. Number one, radical humility works when we focus on what Jesus gives us in unity. It works when we focus on what Jesus gives us in unity. Look at verse 1. Therefore, now what is therefore? Therefore, therefore connects to the previous statements that Paul stated in Philippians chapter 1, that he wants you, no matter what is happening, to remain unified, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, and that Christ has granted for you not only to believe in him, but to also suffer for him. So therefore, if you have any encouragement from being unified with Christ, if any comfort in his love, if any common sharing in his spirit, in the spirit, and if any tenderness and compassion, if you have those things, then beloved, focus on what Jesus has given us in unity. See, in Christ, Christ has granted us to believe in him and to suffer for him. Then we are drawn closer to Christ as we become more unified with the Lord. Listen, the more unified you become with Christ, the more you're able to endure the challenges and persecutions that come upon our lives. So therefore, Paul is saying, look, take courage or be encouraged. In other words, focus on what this unity provides. And then we see a series of if statements. And this is not if where it is conditional, but it is if as if it is a confident statement. Paul is saying these if statements, showing us that you can and will receive comfort from his love. You can and will receive common sharing in his spirit. And you can and will receive more tenderness and compassion from Jesus Christ. So when you are more focused on what Jesus gives us while you're facing the challenges and periods of persecution that comes in our lives, you're becoming more unified with Christ. You're identifying more with what our Lord had to go through. And the residual effect is, take courage and be encouraged by this, that as you are unified, you'll find comfort from his love. You'll find common sharing in the Spirit. And you'll be more tender and compassionate in what you do for the Lord. Isn't it good news to know that when we take our eyes off our situation and focus more on the Savior, that the Savior, as we are unified with him in suffering, will grant us the opportunity to feel comfort in his love, have common sharing in the Spirit, and we'll become more tender and compassionate toward one another. But there's more here, beloved. Not only when you focus on, once we focus on what Jesus gives us in unity in order to really see how radical humility works, but then you must focus on what we offer Jesus in humility. What we offer Jesus in humility. Look at verse 2. The Apostle Paul says, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. He says, make my joy complete. In other words, the Apostle Paul says, I recognize and realize I'm in prison. I'm not in prison for nothing. I'm here in chains for the cause of Jesus Christ. And he's sharing with them, I know you're going through persecution, but take comfort in what the Lord offers. But in return, make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, and being one in mind and spirit. Now, Paul is not saying that everyone must think alike, but the beauty of this kind of humility and unity comes through diversity. In In other words, when we go through different things in different ways, but our goal remains the same, Paul says that while I'm in prison and while the church at Philippi is under persecution, we are suffering a diversity of different types of persecution. But let the goal be the same. Let our goal be one. Let us stay focused in mind and in spirit. So, beloved, let us focus on unity through humility together. That's what we have to offer Jesus Christ, that as we are unified in Christ, we become more humble. We show more humility in the face of one another. And though we go through different types of persecution and different types of challenges, we stay focused in mind and in spirit. We have the same love that we offer as well. It's radical humility. This is not your everyday humility where you're humbling yourself. This is something that you have to be intentional about. And here's the final thing, beloved. Not only must you focus on what Jesus gives us in unity, and not only must you focus on what we must offer Jesus in humility, but then we must focus on what we can offer others selflessly. We must focus on what we offer others selflessly. Look at verses 3 and 4, and I'm praying. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. This is some radical humility here, where the focus is not on what you can get out of it, not on how well you're blessed, but humility and unity through diversity of experiences is to be done selflessly. And Jesus gives us the greatest example of radical humility for the sake of others. Verse 6 said, who being in the very nature of God did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even the death of the cross. That's the greatest example we have of radical humility, where Jesus was thinking more about us than he was about himself. And emptying out himself, finding it that he's not even equal with God, that he lowered himself to be like us in human form, that we might then have the right to the tree of life. If Jesus performed radical humility, who are we not to seek the interests and value of others above ourselves? We must not seek selfish ambition or vain conceit, but we must offer God what God has given to us through Jesus Christ. And although it may mean we have to go through challenges and persecution, it does not matter, because Jesus Christ in unity, when we're unified with him, offers us much more. And we then in humility offer Jesus much more, so that we can selflessly offer others much more. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come this morning thankful and grateful on day 20 that you are calling us to radical humility. What N.T. Wright calls radical humility. Let us be humble in how we serve. Let us not serve to be seen, but let us be seen serving others. And Lord God, may we do it to your glory, your honor, your praise. For Lord, you emptied out yourself. You lowered yourself down to the level of humanity. You even suffered yourself, Lord God, to be nailed to an old rugged cross, that we might have a right to the tree of life. Help us, Lord God, in our form of radical humility and through our diversity and complexity, Lord God, of different challenges that we go through, to recognize and realize that the goal is the same, that we must do what the cause of Christ calls for. Help us to be radically humble before your presence and do the work of a servant. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, beloved. Heaven smile upon you. Listen, let us begin to be radically humble before our God and do our best not to exalt ourselves, but to exalt others unto Jesus Christ. Be blessed on day 20. Amen.